NFL Sunday Ticket is now on YouTube and YouTube TV, which means that you can stay close to your team even if you don't live in their town. Like, maybe you're a Raven who married a Seahawk who got a job in the land of the Falcons. With NFL Sunday Ticket, you can watch your team's out-of-market Sunday afternoon games no matter where you live, because you shouldn't have to change teams even if you change towns. NFL Sunday Ticket, now on YouTube and YouTube TV. Go to youtube.com/presale to get $50 off.
Terms and embargoes apply. Offer ends 9/19. No refund. Subscription auto renews.
This is the Rich Eisen Show.
Let's go!
Live from the Rich Eisen Show studio in Los Angeles.
Mahomes looks here. Outside throw to McKinnon. Touchdown!
Fighting the end zone and getting in. Second of the day for Brock Wright.
The Rich Eisen Show.
This is it, bro. Here we go.
Earlier on the show, SEC Commissioner Greg Sankey. Still to come, ESPN senior writer Seth Wickersham. Comedian Tracy Morgan. And now, it's Rich Eisen.
Yes, it is. Welcome to hour number two of this edition of the Rich Eisen Show on kickoff Thursday. The wait's over. It starts tonight. The it being the National Football League playing season in 2023. 844-204-RICH is the number to dial. At Rich Eisen Show on all our Twitter and all of our social media feeds, except TikTok at The Rich Eisen Show.
Oh, so we're a little hypocritical. I mean, I hate to say it. I don't want to call ourselves out, but a little hypocritical.
Why?
Putting the in front.
Well, we have to turn to the man who created the account back in the day out of pressure from my then, I believe, 12-year-old son, Xander Eisen, who came on the program saying, Dad, you should have a TikTok account. Mm. By the way, couldn't have been more right. Why do we put the V on there? Did somebody already have? Was somebody squatting on our show account, TJ?
I think it was just like I was making the account and I was just putting. I just put the Rich Eisen Show and it popped up. Like,
okay,
and I didn't even think that the V was.
See,
a thing.
It's not so, hypocritical.
He does
at
not
all.
Have your back. All this talk about say it with your chest,
TJ Jefferson.
Say it with your chest. What's good,
chicken? Jefferson.
He goes and puts the.
Hold on, let me say
on
that one
the
more
TikTok
time.
Account.
TJ Jefferson
doesn't have your back.
Let me explain to you what was not in my thought process was the Ohio State thing.
I got receipts. I might have to go back and find. Hey, watch me troll Rich on the TikTok account. Might have been a thing.
You know what, Chris? Here's the deal.
Voice, by the way.
Now that you bring that up, I like where it's at. I wish I could say that was part of the process. It was not, but wow, that was from now on. Yeah, I did do that on purpose.
Wow.
Yeah, sure.
At least you know where I stand. I say it right to your face.
But our words, I've never really said before, and I'll say again, multiple times. Our TikTok game's on fire right now.
Ooh.
I get people saying. Somebody told me that when I was at the NFL Network for the premiere of The Pick Is In. The Roku channel documentary with NFL Films about last year's draft. Somebody came up to me and said, Rich, your TikTok game's on fire. I'm like, wow. Can you say that again? I just want to mark the date and time. Nobody's ever said that to me before.
Okay, Rich, Kelsey update.
What do we got?
Pelissero and Ian and Garofalo are on NFL Network right now.
Yeah.
Kelsey will work out this morning.
Yeah, we already knew this.
To test hyperextended knee listed as questionable.
Yeah, okay.
He's playing.
Okay,
he's playing.
It was funny last night during the NBC broadcast that I was hosting. That's the NFL Plus thing, the dress down.
Oh,
by the way, we don't dress. You know, I guess I dress down for streaming. I don't know, but sometimes you know.
I think I'm wearing a black tank top tomorrow.
No, you're not. No, you're not. Let's stay true to ourselves, sir. Let's stay true to ourselves.
I dress down every day.
Oh, yeah. So last night, Kaylee Hartung on the NBC broadcast was interviewing Donna Kelsey live, and she asked her.
Her 15 minutes are still going.
Well, Mama Kelsey's there. There's a documentary, I believe, called Kelsey that's debuting Friday in Philadelphia.
Oh, it's for Jason. Yeah.
Yes,
yeah,
right.
Yeah.
And so so she asked her mom. She's like, you know, hey, I got to ask, how's your son? It's like, you know.
Kind of got to.
Yeah. And she's just like, well, we'll leave it up to the trainers that they've got it, whatever. And I swear to God, I thought to myself, how would my mother have answered that question?
Right. Well, you know,
I don't know why he's going to play with a hurt knee.
Right.
Why would he do such a thing? You know, the difference between a Jewish mother and Not Jewish mother. Why? I told him,
don't go out there.
Why? You're hyperextended. You, what did you do to
me? Hyperextension.
Rich.
I'm just picturing.
I swear to God, I was thinking that. I'm like, do I say something to that effect on NBC? I turned it down.
Yeah.
And I figured this is the more appropriate setting to talk about what's in my... Folks sometimes like wonder how I, you know, go about my business. Mm-hmm. If you do, there's a filter up here in my head. And it catches some things before it comes out of the mouth.
Sometimes.
But I honestly thought to myself, how would my Jewish mom handle, how's your son feeling? Is he okay? Oh. Is he going to play in the Thursday night game? Words probably never asked of my mother. Oh, my gosh. But Donna was like, yeah, well, the trainers will handle it. But I think, you know.
Coached up.
She mentioned a little swelling. And then she promoted the documentary.
Well done.
Don't forget, she's the first mom in Super Bowl history to show up to the game with a promo code for pizza and beer and whatever.
Speaking of which, have you seen the new commercial, speaking of the Scripps thing,
yes,
where they're talking about the season? And
yeah, we aired the 2-minute version of it at the top of the NBC show last night with Keegan-Michael Key. Yeah.
So you saw the Miss Donna part where she said that, how about I date Jimmy Garoppolo? And then everybody
went
nuts.
Oh, man, that's hilarious.
He's like, that was great. But Travis.
He goes, he's a good-looking man.
Jokes, yeah, and we're on there, and Jason was like, whoa.
Yeah, no. Travis, like, he's a good-looking guy. Yeah, I understand, like, Mom. And Travis, like, what?
Jason was like, what?
It's funny. That's a funny spot.
It's like, maybe I should date Jimmy Garoppolo.
Funny spot. And tonight, I'll be at the mic on Westwood One Radio for Thursday Night Kickoff. Andy Reid and Dan Campbell are the guests, and you could stream the NFL on Westwood One for free, sponsored by AutoZone. All season long, you can listen to every Westwood One broadcast of the NFL live on the NFL app by asking Alexa to open Westwood One Sports on your Westwood One affiliate station's digital platforms. Kevin Harlan, Kurt Warner, and yours truly, all season long for free, and get in the zone with AutoZone. AutoZone's free battery testing and charging is available for free at your local AutoZone. Get in the zone. AutoZone.
I wonder if AutoZone's reached out to Hot Rod Fitting.
Hold on. Restrictions apply.
Oh, my bad.
Please, TJ.
My bad.
I mean, honestly, you jump in, people they think it's completely unrestricted, and they're like, willy-nilly. I'm like, no, they have to apply.
My bad. I apologize.
You should.
Sorry.
Because, you know, restrictions apply.
I'm just doing a Twitter search on Kelce for the latest news, right? And someone posted a video. Remember when he threw a towel at the ref?
Oh, yeah. That was early, his second year, right?
Let me tell you something,
like,
man.
Like super Travis, early in his career.
Brother, Travis Kelce was a hothead when he came into the league. He had some issues. Like, Andy Reid basically had to tell him, hey, you can be great. You need to chill.
Yeah.
And
relax,
I think Kelce, bro. He had an epiphany. Travis Kelce had an epiphany.
Yep.
Hothead, you know, maybe standing in his own way type talent.
Yeah.
To first ballot Hall of Famer Walter Payton Man of the Year. And thank God he had that epiphany.
Yep.
Oh, dude, he threw a flag. I think he also, there was a Veterans Day weekend.
Yeah, so it is the
towel, right?
Yep, yeah, it's the towel. Yeah.
Right, he threw a services
towel. Yeah.
Yeah.
Against Jacksonville. It's really fun.
Camouflage type towel he threw. I remember that.
So he's yelling at the ref. The ref hits him with a personal foul. He's like, what, man? And then he throws his towel at the guy.
Yeah, I know. He was a hothead.
Yeah.
He was a hothead. Now he's going to the Hall of Fame and he'll beat Mahomes there because Mahomes will still be playing.
Yeah, Kelce's 34, so how many years does he have left?
So we'll keep – I sure hope he plays tonight, as does the rest of Chiefs Kingdom.
Yeah, Clark Hunt was on Good Morning Football, said, you know, expect to see him out there, but we'll see.
Chris in Denver, let's take your phone call. What's up, Christopher?
Hey, how are we doing, gentlemen?
What's going on?
I'm going to beat Mr. Brockman to the punch and say, how are we doing?
Look at Chris picking up on your other.
And also, I'm going to raise the stakes here on the Rich Eisen Show,
yes, sir,
on the Roku channel.
Okay.
At 10:09 a.m.
Getting back on the spoof, which I super-duper appreciated.
Okay.
I have a question for you guys about the ceiling for Justin Fields, given all the variables that have been moving pieces for the Bears. There's been a lot of intriguing moves, and the NFC North in general has been a very shifting landscape. And, you know, Jordan Love, Justin Fields,
yes, sir,
that step forward, any which way, it's going to be the difference between make or break in that division, as far as I see it.
Well, I mean, they kept him, which I think was the right move. Let's not forget. That's how the year started. The year started with, wow, Bears, thanks to Lovie Smith's largesse, and thanks for the call, Chris, and thanks for the shout-out to Chris, and also to a spoof of me. But that was thanks to Lovie Smith's largesse, the Bears were gifted the first overall pick. And I got to tell you, you give Ryan Poles you got to give him a pat on the back, man. You can have Bryce Young and go and start new with a rookie quarterback, or take your equally as young quarterback, who has now been seasoned, unfortunately tenderized, but also seasoned, and go to work with his clear, terrific talents, and get him DJ Moore. What? Because that's what he's done. And Khalil Herbert, if he has that home run ability, right? Let's see. Giving up Roquan Smith is not the greatest idea, but, you know, obviously he wanted to get paid, and they're remodeling everything, and we'll see what they do. But did you see Justin Fields' comments about the rivalry between the Bears and the Packers?
No.
Yes, because it's Jordan Love versus Justin Fields. The days of Rodgers tormenting Jay Cutler and everyone else are over. And it's a new iteration of the longest standing rivalry in the National Football League. Here's Justin Fields on being part of this rivalry with a new partner in it to kick off the season on Sunday.
You know, of course, it's a big rivalry, but, you know, it's game one. It's the most important game of the season, so not really looking back towards history. I'm looking to, you know, now. So, like I said before, we got a different team this year. Last year, that was last year, so it's a different year. But, we don't really care what, you know, happened in the past. That doesn't affect, you know, what's going to happen on Sunday. So we're just looking to go out there, play our best, and, you know, put our best foot forward.
Yeah, take your leather helmets and stuff it. Two things. First of all, who's the heavy-fingered typist? Hey, my goodness.
Is that a typist or a photographer?
Yeah, we think that would have been camera.
I don't know about that. Somebody's got a heavy finger. Mm. Can you type a little lighter, please? We're trying to have sound bites. Oh, you're the heaviest typer here, Mike. Yeah, I mean, seriously, like you're like sledgehammers over there.
Yeah. There's times when Rich is actually.
I'm like, honestly, the audio engineer keeps his microphone open. I'm trying to talk, and I keep hearing tap, tap, tap.
I gotta
like,
get a new keyboard.
I'm like,
right?
Is there a leak? No, yeah, it's the keyboard.
I remember after the second time you yelled at Mike, I went and got.
I didn't yell at him. Excuse me.
You give me a look, Rich. You give him a look. You give me a look. He knows.
I give you the look.
And I'm like, I feel.
Excuse me.
Sorry.
The look I give you is the look I give people when I pass them because they've been driving too slow in front of me. You feel better looking at the person.
I always get a stare.
I don't know. I don't,
like, what are we doing?
Are
we doing?
I never have that vision in my head of that person's going to look like fill in the blank ever. But I just need to see what is the face of the person who drives like that. I need to see it.
I get that look about.
But that's how I look at him. The other thing is too is like it's a different generation here now. They don't care about the leatherheads.
Nah.
Honestly, I know that fans are like we got to beat the Packers. You know, but this is also his mentality. It's a new year. It's a new everything, and. I can't wait to see what he looks like.
I hope it works out for Rich because I drafted DJ Moore last night. So
DJ, it's a great choice. It's a great. He's a terrific
DJ. We have Fields in the best ball.
Yes, we do.
So
you're invested.
We're invested.
You're invested.
All right. Let's see what we got here. Let me see. Let's take a phone call. Everybody's chiming in. We've already played these games. Let's go to Phil in Fargo, North Dakota, just because it's Fargo, North Dakota. Phil, you're in. Phil, how are you, Phil?
Good morning, Rich.
Are you checking the lot for Truecoat, Phil? What's going on there in Fargo? What's going on there? What's happening?
Not a whole lot. Just getting ready for football to start up the season, as it were.
Okay.
So I was just in your lovely state of Michigan, Mackinac Island.
Okay, beautiful spot. What a spot.
First wedding anniversary is actually a year ago today that I actually called in to your guys' show because I needed wedding advice.
How did it work, by the way? What was our wedding advice, and did it work out? Let's check our work.
So first thing was Chris Brockman told me to make sure we settled who gets what bathroom. That got settled right away. Your advice was to just take a quick moment with my betrothed. With
I remember
Rachel,
this.
Stand in a corner, take in everything for a few seconds because you can't bear anything more. And that was a really nice moment. Of all the blur and hubbub that was our wedding night, I do remember that. And that was a very lovely moment.
And I think that I'm glad that you got advice of varying degrees. Yours may be more physically lasting, Chris, than mine, you know.
Yours was good day advice. Mine was
lifetime advice.
Phil,
how are those memories, right? Right? How are the memories?
It's the best of both worlds with Rich Eisen Consulting.
Thank you so much.
Yeah. I think Phil sent us a picture from his wedding, too, on Twitter.
Very good. Now it's X.
My bad.
But back when he sent it, it was Twitter.
The artist formerly known
Phil,
as
Phil. Do you want to...
Phil's gone.
Is Phil gone?
Yeah.
You
Mike,
cut him off?
Did you trigger him?
Heavy fingers out of my game when you talked about the
HFD,
typing.
Why would you hang up on him like that?
Phil, call back. I am so sorry.
Wow.
And then he tried to play it off like, oh, he hung up.
No, that was my fault.
He hung up.
I screwed up. No, I didn't. I admitted
Now you
did it right away, Mike. Yes, I did. No, I said I hung up on him.
Now he probably regrets telling us the bathroom story. Because he could have gotten it. We could have been halfway through the win-loss game.
Adam, put him back through when he calls in.
That's all right.
I'm sorry.
I don't know what you're doing.
Phil, call back.
Mike's still in the preseason.
I don't know why that made me laugh.
Phil, call back. Right, and Mike, you were not going to say that you hung up on him.
I totally do. I admit when I do that.
All right. Let's take a break
Phil's
here.
Phil's calling back. I think Phil's calling back.
No, we're taking a break.
I just feel bad.
Wow.
We're taking a break. Seth Wickersham's up next. What a story.
Sorry,
on Sean Payton telling Russell Wilson, stop kissing effing babies. Stop playing football.
You're not running for office.
Yeah. Wow. The senior writer of ESPN also would know if Bill's on the hot seat in New England. He wrote the book on it. Seth Wickersham coming up next. Let's talk about AG1, people, a new partner of the Rich Eisen Show, a daily foundational nutritional supplement that helps support whole body health. And if you're like me, then it's so hard to keep up with a supplement routine throughout your busy day when it comes with a bunch of products on top of it. So when you drink AG1, you notice an overall feeling of health. It can help support your mental clarity, improve digestion, focus. Drink it in the morning, drink it in the afternoon, before working out in the morning, before making your coffee, starting your day. Makes you feel unstoppable, ready to take on the day and anything that comes your way. If you want help taking ownership of your health, and of course you do, try AG1 and get a free 1-year supply of vitamin D and 5 free AG1 travel packs with your first purchase. Go to drinkag1.com/Eisen. That's drinkag1.com/Eisen. Take ownership of your health right now. Check it out. drinkag1.com/Eisen.
It could be information to change your life forever. Or the Something You Should Know podcast could just be something interesting.
My guest is Kim Zuckman. She is author of the book, There's No Cream in Cream Soda. I don't think I've ever really known the story of why they're called hot dogs.
There are so many legends about the name of the hot dog. When the Germans immigrants came over and they brought all of their sausages, they also brought their dachshunds. It really is because they kind of look like dachshunds.
Something You Should Know, wherever you listen.
By the way, Phil is not called back.
Phil is gone. I'm sorry, Phil.
I mean,
I can't apologize more. I can only do what I can do. Rich, but you do know when I do this.
What does that mean? I can only do what I can do.
I can only say I'm sorry. Okay. That's it. I can only do.
That's true. You can only say you're sorry.
I can admit I've made a mistake.
In the meantime, do you see the blank square rectangles next to the last caller? I need to know who's calling.
I don't know.
These are important pieces of information.
Yeah, well, that's blank to me.
Everyone, there's a bunch of win-loss game players that they want to go rolling, which is great. We're going to do it. We're going to empty
We're going to empty the phone banks. Also, later on, we've got our Super Bowl winners and predicting the, what else are we going to do? MVP, players of the year on offense and defense, and the coach of the year. Correct.
Correct.
Oh, very good.
So that is today. My bad.
You haven't done it yet?
I did. I did send it in. Sorry. Because pretty sure we were discussing if we do it today.
Are you all right over it?
We're going to do it today.
I'm good.
TJ's got a fantasy segment.
Oh, it's coming up at the end of the hour.
Yeah.
Oh, I know that. That I know.
I'm just making sure that he knew.
Tracy Morgan.
Oh, I knew.
Oh, by the way, we're going to show him that picture I took at the NFL Honors as I sat down. I sit down, and then Tracy Morgan's walking past me, and I was about to say hello to him, but I realized he was just sitting down right behind me, and he says to Tony Dorsett, I took a picture of this just as he was saying it. Tony Dorsett, you are my biological father.
The look on Tony's face right there.
And as soon as that happened, I took this picture.
He's like, what?
That's a great picture.
I mean, Tony Dorsett is like, what did you just say?
I don't know. Actually, I did not hear what Tony Dorsett said. I can't wait to ask that of Tracy Morgan.
He just said yes.
And you haven't talked to Tracy since then,
no.
Right?
That's coming up. Hour three. Back here on the Rich Eisen Show Radio Network, I'm sitting at the Rich Eisen Show desk, furnished by Grainger, with supplies and solutions for every industry. Grainger has the right product for you. Call clickgrainger.com or just stop by. As soon as the playing season ended and the non-playing season hit, I said one of the top storylines entering the off season was, what will the Sean Payton Broncos look like? And we are about to start getting that answer Sunday against the Raiders in Denver. Holy cow. And Russ already looks a little thinner, right? He looks
in shape.
He looks more, you know, warrior-like.
Not as thick.
So that's why I immediately read the deep dive written by our next guest on Sean Payton. It's must-reading material on ESPN, the senior writer from ESPN. Back here on the Rich Eisen Show, Seth Wickersham. How are you, Seth?
Good, man. How are you?
I'm jealous you got to spend all that time with Sean Payton, one of the most interesting men in the National Football League. Jealous.
He was awesome. Like, you know, I visited him in Idaho for a couple of days and then in Denver for training camp for a couple of days. And he's an entertaining guy. He was an entertaining guy. There's no doubt.
Well, and again, your piece begins with an italic paragraph or two flashback to the night that Payton won the Super Bowl in New Orleans, and it kind of does inform quite a bit about Sean Payton trying to find that next one. Why do you think he took this job? Is it the Walmart money? Why do you think Sean Payton said yes to this one, Seth?
Yeah, I think it's interesting. He told me that he got so tired in New Orleans of feeling like he couldn't win a jump ball in the league. You know, I think that since Bounty Gate happened, he's been suspicious of the NFL and everything the league does, from officiating to memos to investigations. And I think that even though he rebounded well from, you know, the team rebounded well, I think that, like, after he lost that NFC Championship game with that no call on the pass interference, I think it scarred him on a deep level. And I think that when he walked away from New Orleans, remember, he was never going to retire. He was going to go to a different team that he felt the league was more invested in their success. And it's a really, really interesting idea and goal, right? That the league would play favorites like that. But I think that after all his time in New Orleans, he was exhausted on an existential level, and coming to Denver, an iconic franchise that hasn't, you know, won a playoff game since the Super Bowl almost a decade ago. You know, I think he felt like that the league was more invested in their success. And as he told me, he thought he could get a jump ball here and there.
Here in Denver, I guess, with the Walmart family, the new owners of the Denver Broncos. Interesting. So did he take the job with the sense that he needed to rehabilitate Russell Wilson? How do you think he is approaching this season with Russ, Seth?
Well, I think he's invested in Russ being successful. And, you know, I know that his comments to USA Today a month ago or so got a lot of attention, but it's clear that he thought that there was offensive malpractice that occurred with Russell Wilson. And he, you know, wants to find ways to build an offense around Russell that give him the best chance to do what he does well. And I think that he wants him coming to the line quickly, getting the ball into his hands and making quick decisions. I think that last year you saw a lot of indecision on Russell Wilson, which was really atypical for most of his career. And I think that one of the things that Sean Payton has really tried to do is to get them to the line quickly. I think that last year the Broncos, I think only three teams had more pre-snap penalties last year than the Broncos. He wants Russell Wilson getting to the line, diagnosing the defense and snapping the ball. And that's one of the reasons why Payton has spent so much time this offseason and will spend so much time this year not drawing up these elaborate plays, but trying to find ways to decode the defense before the snap to make things quicker and easier for Wilson.
Well, I know he mentioned it was malpractice on the part of Nathaniel Hackett in operating or having the operational manual all whacked for Russell Wilson. But, you know, Russ had a part to play in that. And also the complete lack of control on a player who had run of the place in a way that few players want to have run of the place or get to have run of the place. Walk me through what Sean Payton had to say to you on that front. There's a soundbite that or a quote that really is making the rounds today.
Yeah. Seth. Well, he told me that early on he told Wilson, you know, look, we got to back off Russell Inc. a little bit. And he said, you know, can you stop effing kissing the babies? You're not running for public office. And, you know, look, it's a classic Sean Payton thing. It's a message delivered through humor. You can see, you can hear a lot of Bill Parcells in there too.
Yeah.
But he likes Russell Wilson. And I think that he thinks that, look, the team, and I think that it was not just Russell, but everybody got a little too excited about Russell Wilson last year. And from a franchise point of view, you can understand it. I mean, they had gone so long without a franchise quarterback that when they finally got one and they gave him that contract, you know, yeah, they wanted to be excited and they wanted the fans to be excited. But all of this stuff, you know, completely backfired. And I think that, you know, one of the things that Sean Payton wanted Russell Wilson to do is to get off social media as much. You don't need to give people fodder out there. And we all remember last year that Wilson, you know, he got mocked on a level that we've rarely seen for a superstar athlete in the social media era. I mean, it's continued into this year. The Arizona Cardinals, after a preseason game, made fun of him on their social media account. I mean, it's like this accepted practice to put Russell in his place. And so I think that, like, Payton didn't want to give the opponents any ammunition out there. And he wanted Russell to kind of come, earn his work, go about it quietly. And Russell Wilson has. He's had a good camp.
How has that landed on Russ? Because that does inform the entire Broncos season, in my mind. How is he taking this coaching from Sean Payton, Seth?
Well, right, so far he's taking it great. Now, you know, if the season gets off to a bad start and if they're losing and it's November and Russ is a key reason why, you know, will Payton make a change? I think that's, you know, a fair thing to contemplate. But a lot of this stuff didn't make it into the story, but I watched a lot of film of training camp practice with Sean Payton the week that they were practicing against the Rams. And we would watch offensive snaps where Wilson would throw the ball to receivers who were open and the ball would sail over their head. And if I didn't know better, I would have thought Wilson was just being inaccurate, when in fact, Wilson was throwing the ball exactly to where it was supposed to be thrown and the receivers weren't where they were supposed to be. So much of this stuff is predicated on trust and timing and reps. And it was a reminder for me that as much as we want to be able to diagnose football in the moment, you can't do it for most of the plays unless you know intent. Because if you were just watching those, you would just think that Russ was just completely inaccurate and was missing guys, when in fact he was throwing the ball to where they were supposed to go and the receivers weren't running the version of the route correctly.
What's your sense on the Broncos buttoning that up in time to take on the Raiders Sunday,
in
Seth?
Time?
Yeah, I mean, seriously, there's injuries as well. There's a lot going on that we obviously knew that happened last year, that it's go time now, right? This conversation is over. It's now time to see the results.
It is go time. And, you know, when I was with Sean Payton, his wife, Skyline, you know, she was like, hey, you know, you never talk to me about your day. And Sean was like, well, you know, it's just training camp. But yeah, it isn't just training camp. And in fact, he knows that when you come in with the presence like he's come in on, where you're the program, you're the instrument for change, you're the device that everybody's counting on to change that team from a loser to a winner, it's all on your shoulders and it's tenuous and fragile. He often talks about how essential it was that when he got to the Saints, they started 3-0, not only because it helped convert the skeptical, but also because it gave everyone confidence. And, you know, the Broncos opened with 2 games at home. Both games should be winnable. And, you know, the pressure is on and he feels it. He knows that, like, you know, if they go 0-2, look out, because it could be an ugly, ugly, ugly time in that building.
Seth Wickersham's ESPN senior writer, Seth Wickersham, here on the Rich Eisen Show. Great deep dive currently online with him reporting on Sean Payton. Let's talk about the Patriots here. The Kraft-Belichick relationship has been quite discussed over the last several months, and you literally wrote the book on the Kraft-Belichick relationship. As a matter of fact, over your left shoulder is the cover of that book, It's Better to Be Feared, The New England Patriots Dynasty in the Pursuit of Greatness. Where do you stand on the sense that Belichick is on a hot seat this year, Seth?
I think it's warm. It's my opinion that I think if the season ends and the trajectory of the franchise is clearly trending down, that I think Kraft would weigh making a move very, very, very hard and might be willing to. It's a different structure than Bill's had. You know, Bill has always managed his staff as he's wanted to manage it. And this year it's been different. You know, they did the press release with Jerod Mayo announcing a new role for him. They did a press release for Billy O'Brien announcing his presence. That's not what the Patriots usually do. And they've got an interesting dynamic where you have 2 assistant coaches who have kind of been empowered by the owner, and you have Bill, who obviously is used to, you know, complete autonomy over all football matters. And I think that everybody is hoping this thing goes well, you know, this season. I don't think that Robert Kraft wants Bill Belichick to break the all-time record for wins wearing another team's hoodie.
Nice.
But if they're not playing, if they do not have a good year, and clearly it looks like the franchise has hit a morass, I would not surprise me at all if Robert Kraft makes a move like that. I mean, you know, it's just been a weird offseason. You know, Belichick a couple months ago comes out and he talks about cash spending and how the Patriots are always at the bottom of the league for cash spending. And then I think Greg Bedard from the Boston Sports Journal goes to Kraft. Kraft says, well, we've always paid, you know, we like finances and support and financial wherewithal has always been there for all football matters. Nobody can say that it hasn't. And then a couple of weeks later, Bill kind of backs off saying that cash spending isn't really indicative of, you know, team success. Like I said, there's just little cracks that even the most disciplined football men like Kraft and Belichick are seem to be slipping into.
And did you see Brady at the locker room door for the Raiders in the preseason, sending him out on the field, telling them to go win the game? Did you see that, Seth? It's just, and he said
go ruin their day, right?
Go ruin their day for preseason. Yeah. I mean, it's just what a fascinating aspect of what's going on with the Raiders. McDaniels is the coach. Brady's in ownership right now, right? You know, your colleague Don Van Natta was here in studio a couple weeks ago saying the league is wringing their hands over John Gruden's court case making its way through. And then the Super Bowl is in Las Vegas this year in a season that starts tonight. I mean, Vegas is fascinating to me. I'm wondering where you stand with Brady and his post-playing career. That does appear to be over, right, Seth? It's over?
correct, Brady?
I think it's over. Right. It's weird. It's the first year that I've covered football since I graduated from Mizzou that Brady hasn't been in training camp. You know, he graduated in 2000. I graduated from college in 2000 also. It's the first year. And it is weird not having him in there. He's just become such a fixture that you'd think it could go on forever. But yeah, things are a little weird in Vegas. I mean, you obviously saw what Chandler Jones put on social and then deleted. And, you know, I believe in Josh McDaniels as a head coach. I think that he's a really smart guy. I think that he has found ways to take the system that he's learned and adapt it into his own personality. But I'm worried for him that, you know, he's just alienated so many star players there, and that his second stint as a head coach, you know, will go south like it did in Denver.
And how about him relying on Jimmy G, right? I mean, like, you can't make this up. You can't make honestly, did I just hit on how many chapters of that book of the that's behind your left shoulder did I just hit on, right? With the Vegas Raiders.
It's crazy. Frankly, I think I could write a whole other book about just the relationship between Jimmy G and Kyle Shanahan. I mean, that will be a great 30 for 30 one day.
What do you got for me on that? Well, you got anything for me on that you're willing to share? I'm serious. Well, like, what do you think?
I think that, like, look, that was a weird situation, right? The entire impetus of the trade. Now, I reported that Kraft pushed the trade on Bill. Remember, Bill was very invested in Jimmy G. Obviously, Kraft denied that. But Bill was very invested in Jimmy G. And after they traded him at the deadline in 2017 to the 49ers, remember the 49ers, Jimmy G wasn't on their radar. They were planning to go after Cousins. Bill kept texting Jimmy G after every win that year. And he ends up getting, you know, the biggest contract at the time for any quarterback. And then, you know, they go to the Super Bowl. They almost win. You know, he's 3 yards from a spectacular game-winning touchdown pass in the Super Bowl. And I think that the relationships just got strained. You know, Jimmy was struggling to stay upright. I think that the coaching staff wondered whether he had the will to win like Tom Brady does. Remember Kyle, you know, when Brady left New England, he wanted to go to the 49ers. Like, he wouldn't have had a free agency tour. He would have gone there if they wanted him. And they ended up staying with Jimmy. And things cascaded from there. You know, that COVID season was a bad year for them. They end up getting relocated to Arizona for part of the season. Jimmy G's hurt. And the Rams get Stafford. They, you know, the 49ers try to get Rodgers. He doesn't go anywhere. And, you know, Kyle is looking at a division with the Rams and Stafford and Seahawks and Wilson and the Cardinals and Kyler Murray. And he trades this huge amount of capital up to get the third quarterback in the draft. And of course, then, you know, Jimmy keeps ending up, you know, being his starting quarterback somehow. And I think that the relationship there, I think, you know, didn't end on the best of terms and wasn't on the best of terms for a while. And I think that Jimmy found a team and a coach that I think believes in him in a way that he probably didn't always feel in San Francisco.
What a season that's going to kick off tonight. Seth Wickersham, thanks for the time right here. Great piece on Sean Payton. Good job again, and let's chat down the road.
Thanks, man. Always good to see you.
Fun stuff with Seth Wickersham right here on the Rich Eisen Show. Let's beat it to break because we got lots to talk about. A fantasy football preview by TJ Jefferson, and then the phone calls. Win-loss games up and down a lot. 844-204-RICH, number to dial. Hey, it's Rich Eisen. You want an exciting and fast-paced podcast based on one of the most popular segments in the history of the Rich Eisen Show? Well, you got it. Overreaction Monday, hosted by me, Rich Eisen, and my compadre, Chris Brockman. And every Monday, we're going to dive into the headlines from pro and college football and overreact. Are you ready, Chris Brockman? Yay or nay?
Yes, Rich. No holding back, buddy. I'm coming for you.
Absolutely what you need to hear. Overreaction Monday, every single Wait For It Monday, wherever you listen. Is it true that you met Lorne Michaels as a vendor at Yankee Stadium, the SNL founder?
Yep.
Is that true?
Gate four. And I was a kid. And my friends told me, that's Lorne Michaels, that's Lorne Michaels. He came out of the player's gate. And I overcharged him for like 3 bats and some Yankee shirts. And then when I became a cast member, I gave him back like $14.00 And he said, "What's this for?" I said, "Because I overcharged you for some items." He started laughing. He started dying.
This is when you said game four, like what, the 96 World Series? Is that what that was, Tracy? What do you think?
Let me see what
game. When were you?
It was a Derek Jeter. No. Manningly was playing.
Okay, so that was probably like 95 or something like that. Okay, so so what were you doing out there? You were selling stuff? So you were
scalping tickets. I scalped tickets. I sold souvenirs and I sold cocaine. And that's when it was $21 a gram. I'm getting 45 regardless of how it go down for me.
So this is true.
I'm sorry, because I live right up the hill. So I had tickets, I had cocaine, and I had souvenirs.
You got it all. That's what you're saying. Back in the day.
$20, $21 a gram.
And so you sold hats and bats and stuff like that. And that's how you met. Isn't that
coke.
Amazing?
Don't forget the coke.
You got something in there, Rich, too?
Tracy really was Hustle Man from Martin back in the day.
I really was.
You really was Hustle Man.
I worked souvenirs and I was Tony Montana on the side.
The great Tracy Morgan coming up shortly on the program. 844-204-RICH, number to dial here on the program. We have not done this yet. It's about to happen.
Oh, buddy.
Jason in Scottsdale, Arizona. You're on the Rich Eisen Show. What's up, Jason? How are you, sir? No, that's the wrong line, Mike. Line five, please. Line five. Jason in Scottsdale, Arizona.
Oh, I know why.
How are you, Jason?
You hit the wrong button.
Good, how are you?
What's going on, sir?
So I've been hearing these fanatics talking about 15-2 Broncos games, as records, rather, and I want to add some realism a little bit by doing the Cardinals win-loss game.
And are you a Cardinals fan? Are you part of the Bird Gang, yeah. The Red Sea?
Yes, I am. I am on both the bus and the car.
Uh-huh. I was about to ask you, how did you get to the phone? By bus or did you drive yourself, Jason?
Yeah. I'm just hoping it's better than Herm Edwards' train because that kind of derailed.
Okay, very good. Give some inspirational music to Jason in Scottsdale, Arizona. Filling a need for us. We've had nobody call in the win-loss game for the Arizona Cardinals. All right, at the Washington Commanders.
Okay, I think this is actually going to be the sneaky win.
Sneaky win! 1-0!
Hey!
Jonathan Gannon for Coach of the Year!
Yeah, this is a tracking. Nobody expects us to do anything. I'm not sold on.
Wow.
Start with a win.
It's such a it's a sneaky trap game. That's how sneaky it is. Yeah. All right, home for the Giants.
Lost.
Home for the Cowboys.
Lost.
At the 49ers.
Lost.
Home for the Bengals.
I think Joe Burrow's cap will be fine. That'll be a loss.
1-4 at the Rams.
I think it'll be close. Loss, though.
1-5 at the Seahawks.
Another loss.
1-6, home for the Ravens.
The good news for us people in Phoenix is the sun season starting. We got KD and Beal and Book. Bad news, going to get lost.
That's
lost.
7 straight losses. 1-7 at the Browns.
Ooh, this is going to be close. I'm not sold on Deshaun Watson going back fully, but I still think it's going to be a loss.
1-8, home for the Falcons.
I think this is a win.
2-8 at the
not
Texans.
Sold on Desmond Ritter.
2-8 at the Texans.
Can I propose a first? Can I propose a tie?
That's a first.
This is going to be like the Broncos-Colts game from last year, where by overtime you just want to take it out back.
Jason, it's a wrinkle. Jason, it's a wrinkle we didn't see coming.
Did not.
2-8-1, home for the Rams.
Cooper Kupp will be out for the year. I think they'll be trying to tank too. That'll be a win.
3-8-1 at the Steelers.
Lost.
3-9-1 off the bye, home for the 49ers.
Lost.
3-10-1 at the Bears.
Ooh, close, still lost.
3-11-1 at the Eagles.
Lost.
3-12-1 home for the Seahawks.
Okay, Seahawks are going to rest their starters. We're going to blow it kind of like the Jets blew Trevor Lawrence, and we're not going to get the number one pick, or maybe the top two picks. It'll be a win.
4-12-1. Wow. Jason, by the way, couldn't have expected that to go any better than it did. Well done, Jason, in Scottsdale, Arizona. Took the bus and drove himself.
It's going to be red zone in my fantasy team this year.
Okay. By the way, that's Jason in Scottsdale. Recreating speed, taking the bus and driving himself. That's speed three, right?
Nobody saw speed three.
Didn't Sandra Bullock take the bus and drive herself? In Speed, the movie Speed?
No, in the first Speed,
That's what I'm saying.
Yeah, she was,
4-12-1. That might be first overall pick.
I respect it.
By the way.
Their win total's 4.5, so.
By the way, if they lose 8 in a row or 1-8, Kyler Murray's not coming back. If they're 1-6, Kyler Murray's not coming back.
I think you could just remove the win caveat.
4-12-1.
And Chris, you're right. No one's seen Speed 3 because
it didn't exist.
There isn't a Speed 3.
Thank you very much.
There wasn't a Speed 3.
Way to look it up.
Chris.
Oh. Way to look it up. It ran out of steam. Ran
speed
out of gas.
2 was the boat.
It was Jason Patrick. 2, right?
Yeah. 2 is the boat. 1 is.
I mean, what are we doing? Let's make Speed 3. It's right there. It's
105's
easy.
Right here. We could do it ourselves.
And it's finished. It's so you don't
right
have to
there.
Jump.
What vessel do
speed
we use?
Speed 3.
What vessel? Duck boat?
Blimp. I'll take a duck boat.
Blimp, dude.
Duck boat.
We already did that in Los Angeles.
Duck boat.
Right? Didn't they do that at the Rose Bowl? Was it the Orange Bowl?
An Amazon truck.
Where did the blimp go over? Remember, Bruce Dern told us they would never make that movie today. Ever.
Black Sunday.
Right.
That was in Miami.
That's right.
Yes.
All right. It's now time for a fantasy football update. And now with our weekly fantasy football update sponsored by Prize Picks, here's TJ Jefferson. Take it away, TJ. What do we got for week number one in your mind, sir?
Well, week number one, you know, we're just going to do this quick, Rich. I'm going to hit you guys with a start pick, a sit pick, and then just someone to maybe look out for 1 week, someone to stream 1 week, a player to drop, you know, a player to pick up.
We'll
do all that as the season goes on. And I'm just pulling this up right here. Now for my start of the week. You know, I'm big on rookie running backs, and there's a guy out there who is getting a lot of noise as a rookie running back, and a lot of people are high on him in their drafts, and they're really talking about him a lot, and that's Bijan Robinson. But that's not my pick.
Okay.
I'm going with another rookie, and that's Jahmyr Gibbs
tonight.
Of the Lions tonight. You know, I want to see if he's just going to make a statement. This kid, from what we understand, is incredible, had a great college career. I just got a feeling about this kid, and I feel like he is going to ball out this season, and I'm really looking forward to watching him. And I drafted him last night.
Good for
so
you.
I'm putting my money where my mouth is.
I have my draft tonight. I hope to get him. And we had Dan Campbell on. I'm like, what's your plan for me? He goes, well, we're going to get him the ball, Rich.
Yeah.
I'm like, okay.
Thanks.
Good to know.
You know, and once Dan said that, I knew I had to have him on my squad. And my sit, look, I'm just going to be a little bit of a homer with this pick, all right? The guy I'm going to tell you to sit is going up against
Saquon.
My
you
opinion,
tell him to Saquon? Or
no, I'm not going to be that disrespectful.
Daniel Jones?
You're hit the nail on the head there. Yes, I'm going to say sit Daniel Jones against the Dallas Cowboys tonight. I feel as though, you know, Dak has never lost to the Giants, but the Cowboys, the last three opening games have not done well. So there's that. But, like I said, again, I'm putting my money where my mouth is. I'm going to say sit Daniel Jones against that Cowboys D tonight. And then there's a sleeper pick. There was a point with this player that you could say he may have been the very best in the league at his position for about 2 seasons. But then injuries after injury just cost him years of his career, but he's back this year. I saw him play one game and make one catch, and I was like, you know what? I feel like this guy's back, and if he is, this team's going to roll. So my sleeper pick is a guy that you just can't guard. Mike Thomas of the Saints. I'm going to say take a chance, because if Mike Thomas can get back to like 2018 level, and I know there's been a lot of time that's passed, but if he can get anywhere close to that, you're going to be able to get good value on him when you pick him up, when you stream him, when you draft him. I'm hoping for Mike Thomas, even though he went to Ohio State and none of us are fans.
It's the Ohio State.
The Ohio State.
Like the Rich Eisen show on Twitter.
But yeah, so Mike Thomas, man. I'm hoping that Can't Guard Mike is able to have a bounce back season because this guy was really, really good at football.
That would be a major game changer for the Saints. They get Kamara back and Can't Guard Mike like back in the day.
And then they got Derek, Chris Olave.
Olave. And geez. Then Juwan Johnson along with Jimmy Graham. That's what they're talking about. And that's our fantasy football update sponsored by Prize Picks, the number one daily fantasy sports app. Ready to test your skills? Join the Prize Picks community. Must be present in certain states. Visit prizepicks.com for restrictions and details. Hour number three coming up. The great Tracy Morgan on this program. But coming up next are Super Bowl picks.
Oh, baby.
Has Travis Kelce been worked out or what? What's going on?
No update, man. No update right now.
You're not going to get one.
Phil Stidney.
You're not going to get one. It's going to be the true game time decision. That's the funny thing. When you hear true game time decision, and you hear that, what it means is it really is going to see how he feels on the field. He's going to have to get
warm-ups.
Warmed up. He's going to put on the cleats. He's going to put on his warm-up gear, and he's going to go warm it up, and they're going to truly make a decision whether you play tonight or not. That's what it means when you say true game time decision. But when these information men and women call it a true game time decision, well, the alternative is, are you lying to me? It's a false game time decision. Like, so, you know what that means? It's just we're definitely going to play this person, or we're definitely not going to play this person. We know. We call it a game time decision. It's a false game time decision.
Yeah, Adam Schefter.
Not really.
Adam Schefter is saying on Pat right now that Kelce wants to play, thinks he can play. In the end, it's up to the Chiefs trainer who will make the final call if he is out there.
No, I'm sure. It's called the eye test. That's it. How's he looking? Because we don't need this thing to linger.
Right. Long season.
Yeah.
No need to play tonight.
That's not true.
Sky Moore.
He's got to play.
Let's go.
Oh, my God. Look at you.
I mean, yeah. I wouldn't mind that as someone who has Sky Moore on his team. You know,
it's just the fantasy football brain rot. Like,
you know, it really does distort your view.
You're
of football.
You're a part of it.
Really,
you're having your draft tonight.
Well, I haven't drafted the team yet, so right now I could still be above it all. Still above it all.
Who do you really
tonight,
want to
I
get tonight?
Be.
Who do you
yeah,
really
what's
want?
One player that you got to leave with? Or who's one player?
Oh, interesting question. I don't want to say. I'm not giving away my information. Tracy Morgan
decision?
Coming up. It's a game time decision.
Yeah, that's true. Because you know Murph is
true
watching.
Game time decision.
Is Murph in your league?
Murph is in the league.
Oh, yeah, he's watching. He'll snag your guy.
Yeah.
When was the last time you won this league?
It's been years.
But you have won?
I have.
Oh. Okay.
But it's been a long time.
Like, how long are we talking?
Jets? 7 years,
like,
maybe?
Like, Jets? Super Bowl? Yeah, length?
No. No.
Cowboys?
But my trophy is lonely. I've only won it once.
Oh.
You know how this works. You don't have to know anything.
No, it's all luck.
It's guess.
99.9%
luck. You don't have
luck.
To know much.
Fantasy football.
You know, that's people go on auto pick and win their draft.
Proof. I
want
to leave.
If who do
Look
I want
me.
Tonight? I have third overall.
Oh, third?
Yes.
Oh, prime spot. You got your choice of any running back.
It's
going to
be McCaffrey.
You think he's going to be there?
Yes.
You do? So
yes,
what are the top two projected?
It's Justin Jefferson, then it's Jamar Chase. And the
Jamar
guy in front
Chase
of me and the
second?
Guy and the guy in front of me is on auto pick.
Oh,
and Chase is the number two ranked player.
Correct.
Wow.
So Justin Jefferson will be one.
So he can't come off auto pick. He's not going to join your draft.
He just wants to auto pick. Wow. And somebody in our league, because he doesn't know much about the sport at all.
Okay.
Said that's not fair to the rest of the league that he lets the computer choose for him.
Why?
Because he doesn't know anything? That's funny.
Well, also because the computer's always going to give
took
you
it.
The
That's
best
funny.
Pick.
My initial thing being the commissioner, I'm like, are we having a complaint about not being fair to the league before we even draft? Can we just back off? But then I read into the meeting.
That's pretty good.
What year is this for you guys?
Oh, God. I think I'm more tenured than Andy Reid.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, it's a long time.
Whoa.
I want to win.
Love it.
Hour
Love
three
it.
Coming up.
Hey, Hey guys, it's Susie Schuster, and I am so excited for my new podcast coming out this fall. It is called What the Football with Susie Schuster and the Princess of Darkness, Amy Trask. If you're looking for a new podcast to listen to about jargon, heavy-legged waistbenders, this is not for you. We're going to have big girl conversations, and we are going super deep to bring you weekly guests that you won't find anywhere else. It is What the Football with Susie Schuster and Amy Trask, wherever you listen.